thank Lloyd for that. Lloyd is still here. Their call to worship. Read this response, it's in your bulletin. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his, praise his holy name. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Let's pray. We come, O God, with a thirst for your presence. Put within us the impulse for prayer. Pull from us every grip of pride. Free us from fear. Help us kneel in our need and to rise in your strength. May we willingly become part of that body of forgiveness and instruction wherein our Lord is again made flesh and dwells on the earth. Amen. Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to 367 for the healing of the nations. 367, and let's rise.
Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and he said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life?" When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and call on the name of the Lord God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and he cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and they said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" And that's, you just need to do that. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan River 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and he said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused.
Our offering this morning, the plate is at the back of the sanctuary. You can either drop in the plate, and for those at home, you can feel free to mail it in. We're going to sing our offering out of the blue hymn number 384, "We Give Thee But Thine Own." We can remain seated. Let's sing this together. Our second scripture reading is from Luke 10, verses 1 to 11, and then again 16 through 20. It can be found on page 734 in the Pew Bible if you wish to follow along. Reading from Luke 10, 1 to 11. Headlined, Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag of sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" And then from verses 14 through 16, or 16 through 20. "Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Take our Sing the Story hymn books and turn to number 49, "I Will Come to You in Silence." As it's written in the hymn book, we'll read the first two verses and then, or we'll sing the first two verses and then go to the refrain, and then the refrain every time after that. So the first two verses are back to back. Let's stand together.
I will lift you from Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be here with all of you. So glad to see you here today, even on this vacation weekend. And hello to all of you there at home. A few questions for you. How many have ever had a frustrating experience with red tape? Or how about a bureaucracy that you had to withstand to get what you needed, but that seemed absolutely ridiculous? How many have been treated badly and maybe been afraid of a bureaucrat, someone who had the power to either give or withhold something from you? There are a lot of hands out there. How many here have ever avoided pursuing something that you wanted because it required a long, drawn out, complicated process with a whole bunch of arbitrary rules, and you ended up just saying, never mind? Right? Red tape, bureaucracy. As a human construct, it's not something we're proud of. Your bulletin shows a picture of a bread line. And in one way or another, we've all been in some sort of line like that. Jesus points this out to the Pharisees in Mark 7. And he could be saying it to us today. He says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of God's commands and are holding on to human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Our passage in 2 Kings speaks to this tendency to want to complicate matters. Naaman is a mighty warrior who has leprosy. His wife's slave suggests he go to the prophet in Samaria who can heal him. So Naaman tells the king of Aram what the slave girl said, and the king replies, go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel. And it begins with a letter. So Naaman brings the letter to the king of Israel, which reads, when this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure his leprosy. This is curious. The slave girl never said that the king of Israel would heal Naaman. She said a prophet would. So the king of Israel gets bent out of shape about King Aram's letter. When the king of Israel reads the letter, he tears his clothes and he said, am I God to give you death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. Now, Elisha the prophet, who can heal on behalf of God, hears that the king of Israel has torn his clothes. So he sends a message to the king. Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me. This is getting complicated, right? So Naaman comes with his horses and chariots and halts at the entrance of Elisha's house. Wow, he's got to make a big show of it, right? Elisha plays along. He doesn't come out to heal Naaman. He sends a messenger to Naaman saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. Okay, finally we're getting somewhere. But Naaman gets angry and huffs off. He's this close to being healed, but instead he gets mad and he complains. I thought that for me, he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not the rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? And he turns and goes away in a rage. Naaman's servants observe this hissy fit and tell Naaman, If the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? All he said to you was, wash and be clean. You can see the bubbles over their heads. Man, why are you making such a big deal of this? So Naaman finally goes down to the Jordan River and immerses himself 7 times. And guess what? His flesh is restored and he's clean. It's done. No more leprosy. But what a process, right? Also notice the bookends. In the beginning, a slave girl simply says that Naaman should go to the prophet and be healed. And at the end, Naaman's servants tell him, dude, just go into the Jordan River. But in between, all those in power have to send letters and messages and make displays of pomp and circumstance and spout off their mouths and be offended and dramatic and obstinate. And it's downright silly. Imagine then if humans ran God's department of love, healing, and salvation. You know where I'm going with this. For starters, we would call it the LHS for short. And you know, it would be right there next to the DOT, the DOE, the CIA, the FBI, the EPA, the FTC over there. And anytime someone is in need of love, healing, or salvation, that's where we would have to go. And you might guess, it's probably a pain. And some of you may know I visited my dad this week. And like you and me, he loves bureaucracy. I'm kidding, it drives him nuts. And one of the more onerous government absurdities he's had to undergo was immigration and naturalization for his wife, who is from Belarus. So I asked him to write it out for me, and it was mind-boggling. We laugh about it now, but when they were going through it, it was anything but funny. So I thought I would take that process and apply it to our passage today. All right, so Jane and Joe, they need love, healing, and salvation, and they head to the LHS. The uniformed guard at the entrance to the Department of Love, Salvation, and Grace, or Healing, offices nods at them with a practiced grimace and body language boasting authority. My dad wrote this, by the way. Before passing through the ominous black-tinted doors, Jane and Joe are given a quantity of forms, and the guard then reads the following from a tattered, coffee-stained script. You are now entering the United States government property. Any misbehavior or failure to follow instructions is a federal crime and will be prosecuted as such. We're open now from 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we close at 4 p.m. Once you enter the premises, you will not be permitted to leave unless one of two things occurs. Number one, your case has been adjudicated and you have been duly released pursuant to Form A654-2022. Or number two, it is 4 p.m. Please enter and take a seat and wait to be called. Jane and Joe obey and enter the inner sanctum of a LHS room painted in government gray, with broken and battered chairs strewn about and creative graffiti covering most of the walls. The room is half full of candidates waiting to be loved, healed, and saved, most of whom chatter away in different languages while their unhappy children protest with sobbing screams and cries. Jane's and Joe's names are finally called after about 2 hours, and they promptly, report to line number 14, which is manned by a frail young man who mumbles quietly the many, many forms of identification Jane and Joe now need to produce. Form 106, along with two forms of personal identification, passport, must have photo of you taken within the past 60 days. Form number C876, along with a certified birth certificate. Photocopies and faxes not accepted. Form number M604, along with mother and father, guardian photos, IDs, birthplaces, death certificates, if deceased, if parents are unknown, use form number B666. Form L6789, along with a certified copies of fingerprints done with the past 60 days by an approved state agency, form number creators, photocopies and photocopies and faxes are not accepted. Form number 007, along with state, federal, or county certified marriage and divorce certificates, photocopies and faxes not accepted. And finally, form number AP300, along with a 350-word essay as to why you are making an application. He then hands Jane and Joe a postcard upon which is printed, "Please return to your seats and wait patiently." Along with the aforementioned forms, do not attempt to ask any further questions. We're really not sure what happens next. In fact, Jane and Joe might be still waiting in the LH offices as we speak. Meanwhile, here's a sampling of how Jesus loves, heals, and saves. First of all, he doesn't have a department that people have to go to. He goes to them. And these are his words as he ministered to people along the way. He said, and note the simplicity, "Stand up, be healed." He went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. "Go home and tell your people how much the Lord has done for you. Come, follow me. Be clean. Stretch out your hand. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Your sins are forgiven. Get up, take your mat, go home. Let the children eat all they want. Go, your son will live. Little girl, I say to you, get up. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Give them something to eat. Take courage. It is I. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Go. Your faith has healed you. Don't be afraid. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Quiet. Be still." In Luke 10, when Jesus sends out his disciples, he gives them some basic guidelines, more like wise advice. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace be to this house." And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person, but if not, it will return back to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter into a town and its people welcome you, eat what's set before you. And here's the clincher, the part about love, healing, and salvation. Jesus tells his disciples, here's the formula, "Cure the sick who are there. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you." That's it. Nothing complicated, no forms, no letters, no pomp and circumstance, no hissy fits. Just cure the sick and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near. The disciples went out and did what Jesus told them to do, and guess what? It worked. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." And Jesus, he's so proud of them. You can see the twinkle in his eye as he says, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning." Friends, our greatest commands are to love God and love one another. Let's not make it complicated. The kingdom of God has come near to you. Rejoice, for your names are written in heaven. Amen. Let's stand and sing, "O God, How We Have Wandered," and sing the story, number 5858.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let's pray. God, thank you that our ways are not your ways. Thank you for not putting us in charge of your department of love, healing, and salvation. We pray that we can always be your face of love, healing, and salvation to those around us. Help us to align our wills to yours as we pray for the joys and concerns we heard earlier. We pray also for our enemies, that the hungry and poor have plenty, that the oppressed be uplifted and justice be done, that all who are troubled have peace of mind, that wars and violence stop in your name, that our children and youth thrive, that the sick be healed, and that we have the courage to pray for complete healing for even ailments we perceive as incurable because you are in us, that the outcomes of the MCUSA delegate session glorify you, that all of creation be restored, that the leaders of the world be led by love, that those who serve this church are well supported, that this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and pets be protected and enveloped in your love. God, we love you so much, and we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise for our ascending. Don't make things too complicated. This week, if you see someone who needs love, healing, or salvation, love them, heal them, save them, in God's name. Rest assured that Jesus will be watching Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Rejoice and know that your names are written in heaven. Let's sing My Soul Cries Out and sing the story, number 124.
Thank you. I will.